Okay, so first of all, with respect to the Christmas shop announcement, there are, last I checked, 16 positions for team leader available. So if you have any skill set regarding team leadership or in your job or your, you know, whatnot, please volunteer. I think they really need people that can commit to that for that day to help run the whole thing. And then she did mention the toy boxes out there. One thing we talked about this week in terms of the giving is that a lot of the older kids, because this goes all the way up to 17 years old, a lot of the older kids, what happens at this place is they set out all these gifts in this one area of the church, and the people in the community with less resources go, and they are able to shop and get the toys and gifts that they need for their kids at no cost. And oftentimes the challenge is meeting the needs of those older kids. So like next week, as you bring your gifts, be thinking this week about what a teen, a mid to higher teen would like, you know. Sometimes those are a little more pricey, but hey, you know, so be it. So
they're worth it,
that's right. So, wow, good morning. It's really good to see all of you here and online. My name is Kevin, one of a group of teachers on our teaching team, numbering, I think, about 8 right now, okay? That's 8 varying perspectives interacting with the material from week to week. And that's how we do it here at La Middle. Something I found very, very refreshing when I became part of this community about 5 years ago. It's different, no doubt, but we always urge that, like, if you're here today for the first time, and this is an unusual situation, to come back again, to get different perspective and different spins on the material. And there might be a style of the teaching that you like a little bit better. Mine might not be your cup of tea. It might float your boat. Who knows? Come back next week. Come back for the next several weeks, and you're bound to get different takes on things. It's really cool. So I have the dual privilege today to welcome you and offer my perspective not only on this very first day of Advent, but in a rare treat happening only once every 5 years or so, Thanksgiving weekend. So let's waste no time right now in giving thanks to our God for the chance to be here, for the freedom of heart and mind available with each breath. As we pray, I ask you to sit as straight as possible in your chairs, plant your feet on the ground, and tune into your in and out breath for a few moments, slowing your breath to a calm, natural rhythm. So much swirling around in our minds, right? Everything from why are we doing this to perhaps leftover trauma or thrill from Black Friday shopping, to-do lists, unresolved conversations, and or various stressors. Whatever it is, recognize it as you breathe in and out. And now release those thoughts and come back to the breath, to this moment. Let's remain here with the breath for a moment. And if not already, let's close our eyes and pray. Father of love and light, may we see and hear with heart and mind your movement in all aspects of our being, our lives, both the pleasant and the not pleasant, wanted and unwanted. May you have access to our very being. We are so very grateful today for just our mere breath, our heart beating, sharing these moments of humanness and community with those here whom you've allowed to be here. We thank you for the many, many ways you have blessed us with this community today, with Jubilee Church, our next door neighbors, for the beauty of the Ventura County area. Ocean vistas, dogs, cats, birds, and fish, etc. We pray for openness to hear from you, Holy Spirit, in this special place and in our interactions throughout our lives. Amen. Yeah. So here we are, moving from November into December 2024, soon from autumn to winter, as we move through this process of changing seasons, our world on its wobbly axis, spinning around us yet again into winter, yet seeing winter itself, the darkest of the dark nights and cold, even it too, is abundantly useful in the cause of vibrant, flourishing life. I'd like to suggest that this is the time and place where infinite love, the divine, has chosen to break into time as we perceive it, based as it is on our little life-filled planet spinning around our amazing star, the sun. We, the teaching team, have a special treat for you over the next 4 weeks, a series entitled Embodying Advent. The gift of this series is to encourage us to see the four key traditional elements of the season, hope, faith, peace, and joy, as growing us, you and I, within, right now, through exactly what is going on in our lives. To see how the God of love, through the realized promise of his Son, Christ Jesus, is creating life anew in you through even the most bewildering conditions. In essence, that hope is not something we wait for passively, as much as it is in the process of birth within us right now, through whatever is going on. And as we have learned through our two most recent teaching series on shalom and strength to love, the promise of God is to take whatever we face, even the most dire and seemingly hopeless, in our lives, and see how life can do its thing. So emerge ever more vital, ever more strong through our lived experience, and in a very real sense, accepting the invitation to become co-creators in the way of love and limitless mercy and grace, helping as his image bearers to transform the suffering of others in our relationships with those nearest and within our communities. So our first gift in unwrapping embodied hope in our lived experience, sitting with this gift called life in our good days and moments that frankly stink, often seeming too hard to bear, is to get to know our story non-judgmentally, each one of us, to know our story. Each of us has one, filled with many little chapters and vignettes. In these past few weeks, I've had the opportunity to hear some talks by American writer, educator, conservationist, and activist Terry Tempest Williams, telling some very moving stories about her family life in southern Utah. One treasure she shared in the mix is an idea among the Kung people of the Kalahari in southern Africa. She shared, story bypasses rhetoric and pierces the heart. In short, what we see or believe, or perhaps are trying to convince ourselves or others around us about ourselves externally, often hides the real, the human heart with all its layers. I am convinced the accessibility or openness to that place in our lives behind the scenes is where our loving Creator seeks to transform our relationship with ourselves, life, and each other. And that in choosing to follow after the Christ is to accept the invitation to the open heart of accessibility to the people in our spheres, which is practically everywhere in 2024, in this digital speed age. Being attentive and curious about their deeper stories. relating wisely and compassionately with ourselves and others on this basis. This is embodying hope. William spoke literally of embodied story, coming from our being and our body, which I found so coincidental as I'm preparing a talk on embodying Advent. It got me thinking about the whole book of the Bible itself as an ancient and odd or mystical or clearly beyond the bounds of modern sensibilities reality for us. As it is, it's Christ's story, God with us, embodied. And moving in tandem with Christ's story, we see on the path behind him, we set on the path behind him, set free into a love like no other, growing in that love through everything that comes along. Mary, the mother of Jesus, had a story. And I'd like to take some time to look at different features or chapters in her story and see what these have to say about detecting, and to use a term, birthing of strands and even beams of hope through whatever chapter your story you find yourself in today. Let's briefly go over some details involving Mary's story, shared with us in the scriptures, perhaps familiar to many of us, but maybe new to you. My urging as you listen is to just listen. Set aside the judgment or very understandable and incredibly helpful at times skepticism that comes along with the modern mind. The book of the Bible, the Gospel of Luke, in the New Testament, begins Mary's story by saying that an angel, was sent by God to her region of Judea called Galilee, specifically Nazareth, there in modern-day Israel, to her little village, Nazareth, like I said, to inform her that though engaged to be married, yet never having been with a man, would soon give birth to a baby boy. The angel Gabriel says to Mary, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Mary, confused and disturbed, tried to think what the angel could mean. The angel continues, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus." The angel goes on to tell her, significantly, that her son, will be the long-awaited Messiah, whose kingdom will never end. Mary questions the angel, how can she give birth when she's never been with a man? The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. To many, including me, this whole story is quite mystifying. Frankly, to my so-called modern ears, it reads or sounds more like a dream someone had than an actual event, or something like that. Lots and lots of questions. Perfect for our conversation after church today. But indeed, it is a story, beginning, middle, and end, within a story, and so on. And there's so much to understand here. Let's begin with the layers of who Mary is. The very inclusion of where this happened tells us so much about the mother of Jesus. Did you know that there are people out there who don't even think that a place called Nazareth existed in first century Galilee, which, based on abundant evidence, really did. But Bible scholar Bart Ehrman notes that this little hamlet or village of maybe 50 dwellings was too small, poor, and insignificant to receive even a single mention in the entirety of the Hebrew Scriptures, the Talmud, or by other notable historians of the area of the era, namely, there was one named Josephus who never mentioned Nazareth. This is where Jesus of Nazareth grew up. Right? Bar Ehrman mentions that it's far-fetched to think they would make this up, that the Messiah came from Nazareth. That would be like a bridge too far, kind of like dying on a cross as a criminal. That's later. Okay. A friend on social media recently put down the city of Blythe, California. Like, thank God I'm not from Blythe. Anyone here from Blythe? Hope not. It's a loaded question. It's okay. That's all right. I'm from Bothell, Washington. And if you take out, it's B-O-T-H-E-L-L. If you scratch out B-O-T, it spells hell. So I speak humbly. Someone did that on our sign one time. Our welcome to Bothell, they scratched out B-O-T-A. Welcome to Bothell for a day or a lifetime, and they scratched out the B-O-T. And so it just said, welcome to hell for a day or a lifetime. Till someone fixed the sign. Yeah, so I have this friend on social media. He's disparaging Blythe. Most people know it as the last stop driving east from California on the 10 before Arizona. Last stop before the potty or a peppermint mocha latte before tons more desert, right? Well, about 20 miles from Blythe, just inside the border of Arizona, well off the 10, is a little town called Cibola. Has anyone here ever heard of Cibola? Yeah, on the outskirts of Blythe, in the middle of nowhere, about 250 people, where the median household income annually is about $21,000. That's Nazareth. Indeed, ridiculously insignificant, poor Nazareth is where it all, Christmas-wise, started. And Nazareth, perhaps even Cibola, Arizona, is like, because you never know, or like, sort of makes you want to treat me with a little more respect, doesn't it? This is the physical location on planet Earth in which the beginning of the revelation of the full story of some other kingdom of infinite love and mercy embodied by Jesus takes place. Yet of all things germinating within a very ordinary looking, say, to the well-off, distant metropolis of the time, Rome, young girl living in relative poverty there in Judea, a region that was at its lowest of lows after 600 plus years of subjugation by changing empires controlling the Eastern Mediterranean, now a backwater region of the Roman Empire. In this story, this young girl's life, with its many layers, seen and unseen, comes the hope for humanity, right there. Not so much coming someday after all the uncertainty and pain is gone, but emerging right there in her reality. This new kingdom of bottomless, inexhaustible love, shalom, the one of growth and transformation in the current situation, the current climate amongst peoples, the one that can only grow out of suffering. This is the place where God chose to reveal his heart to this world. It is no different with the biosphere, to use a modern term, of our being. All the layers, genetically, generationally, interior and exterior, in your wonderfully unique personality expressing itself collectively like a mosaic among family, friends and coworkers, etc. And in your most wounded places, the places of everything from unimaginable loss, chronic pain or depression, or financial stress or difficulty, or difficult, even broken relationships. This level of love can come about as unparalleled freedom in the most uncanny ways. This is the kingdom of which the angel Gabriel spoke to Mary, coming to life in her, a kingdom not predicated on fear or scarcity and thirst for more and more, but indeed increasingly fearless love, with the promise of living deeply, relationally, out of our emptiness. His weaving perfect love into exactly what is going on today, birthing the fullness of hope through his love. To quote this guy, Ralphie's dad, from the movie A Christmas Story, that's some real news. That's not like that political slop. Though in fairness, he, in this situation, was talking about football, not the potential for monumental growth and spiritual maturity. Though to some, there's a tie-in between football and everything else. Right? Okay. And that's a shout-out to my old pastor, Jerry Root, from my Santa Barbara days, who that's all he talked about was football and Jesus. So. So no wonder Mary herself, upon sharing the angel's news to her with her cousin Elizabeth, rolls into a one-of-a-kind prayer found in the New Testament, as she reflects upon her own situation and words of the angel. Oh, how my soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he took notice of his lowly servant girl, and from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one is holy, and he has done great things for me. This upending kingdom, challenging us, meeting us individually and collectively behind the rhetoric, and is ready to sprout new life. And again, rhetoric to me, to kind of give an example, would be like the difference between what you say on the outside and what is going on behind the scenes. And having just lived through this election cycle, I think we're all familiar with the idea of what rhetoric is, what they're saying on the outside and what really is going on for real. Okay. That's the difference. So for me, back in 1999, when my severely neurologically afflicted daughter, Danielle, presented as an infant with what is a lifelong seizure disorder, Laura and I, in our darkest point with uncertainty, I stood up from beside Danielle's hospital crib at 3 a.m. and walked down the halls of the pediatric ward with new eyes as a co-sufferer with all the moms and dads there. A pediatric ICU floor filled with suffering children, I experienced crazily for the first time that in that painful space I had entered the heart of life, where true suffering and magnificence live side by side. And there is nowhere in life where beauty and magnificence don't have at the base the reality of chaos, change, and often an uncertain seeming process. Danielle's not alone. We're not alone in this thing called suffering. And I knew as clear as a bell, something else, love, finally got a foothold into the extremely hard protective shell of my being. Hope, in the middle of my or our lowest point, by being honest about the situation, the only hope is in accessing that place in our being. Indeed, hope of new life in my soul only had a chance in my destitution, well beyond all the thinking games or ego-driven strategies I'd used to keep my non-specialness in this human situation at arm's length. I melted. The bottom fell out. I had a chance to be a living, breathing human for my wife and kids versus this kind of Teflon, performative, uber-religious type act that I was getting down pretty good. The nicest little jerk you ever met. Wearing Jesus like a meme all over his sleeve. A couple more examples of hope weaving itself in the present in the mix. The sheer crisis, yet awe-inspiring hope for those in the midst of this struggle in recognizing, acknowledging before God and humankind who you really are in terms of gender identity, bravely, courageously exiting the binary system that limits your hope and potential for happiness in this one life, to move on, to grow more fully into the being you are meant to be, hope beyond, hope being birthed, what we all can learn from you. At Liminal, we stand alongside you. And then we have Viktor E. Frankl, groundbreaking 20th century psychologist, a survivor of the Nazi death camps in World War II. About 30 years ago, I first read his monumental book, Man's Search for Meaning, what the New York Times has called an enduring work of survival literature. He describes how he lost everything as he, along with hundreds of thousands before him, was transported to Auschwitz in Poland. His family was killed. He was stripped naked and watched his life's work, a scientific manuscript, burned before his eyes. He talks about living in the barracks where men who performed slave labor all day subsisted on 5 ounces of bread, and reflecting back afterward on how basic humaneness and kindness and compassion offered embodied hope, those turning aside from their own needs to respond to the most desperately suffering. And out of that, he came up with this doozy of what I consider timeless wisdom for our age. We who lived in concentration camps can remember the men who walked through the huts comforting others, giving away their last piece of bread. They may have been few in number, but they offer sufficient proof that everything can be taken from a man but one thing, the last of the human freedoms, to choose one's own or choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way. Embodying hope isn't, as we can see from these examples, the same as happiness. I'd say fundamentally, it is about wading into the process honestly with ourselves and others, surrendering, often reluctantly, to the story of life unfolding, often painfully, through the lived experience. At a very real level, as image bearers of the divine, co-creators of this new kingdom, in our path behind the Christ, it means things like patiently, with curiosity of heart and mind, giving yourself time with this beautiful treasure of the breath. In prayer, to learn what's going on within yourself. Listening, as we often say in the Christian path, to the Holy Spirit, as she speaks wisdom and insight into our hurts, on our hurts and pain, dreams falling short, etc. Ask her to love through us in our weariness, in our jobs, raising children, out in the marketplace, with the politics slop, etc. Offering others, very much including those with whom we vehemently disagree, respect as fellow humans. Praying for them, their well-being. Getting into the flow of praying a prayer of God's loving mercy for anyone and everyone we see. Perhaps starting perhaps with those with whom we have the most trouble. Relating to others in their belovedness with sometimes frank honesty about your feelings. But always a heart to be curious about their deeper story and to work with God on learning to forgive. Making it a mission to really hear what someone is saying, not just by their words, but more often by their actions. Perhaps actions that hurt, cause fear or anger, and to pray for them. And to learn the best way to aid and support them as able. As we close, There's another significant part of Mary's story in the book of Matthew, chapter 2, where she and her now husband Joseph are instructed yet again by an angel to skedaddle with the infant Jesus to safety in Egypt. As there was a local king named Herod aiming to kill the baby, rumored to be the king of the Jews. This Herod didn't want Jesus to take over his throne. As you might be aware, this vignette reminds one of the Hebrews, the ancient Hebrews, the Jews fleeing from Egypt, fleeing their mass enslavement under Pharaoh approximately 1,200 years earlier. Mary, with her family, flee despotic, ruthless power in the opposite direction. Mary and her family flee Herod and his threats going south to Egypt. And in the ancient Hebrew story, they were leaving Pharaoh, fleeing Egypt, going the opposite direction. And the symbolism is on purpose, with the writer of Matthew tossing around the word Egypt, which in ancient scriptures always symbolized inhuman, scarcity-centered power, and the opposite of how the God of Israel defines life. Very much demonstrated in nature, by the way. Here's our takeaway on that for today, tying this together. The land of liberation spiritually for each of us is out from behind the rhetoric or facades to let God have access to our hearts, our lives right now as is. Our fears, frustrations, loneliness, or literally whatever version of ourselves we take as gospel, knowing that Christ, the King of hearts, as the angel assured Mary, whose kingdom of bottomless love has no limit in time or resources. We are in process, and God is in that process. Yes, he is. In life, there are so many narratives we maintain about how we wish it was, or what we need to finally be happy or secure or fulfilled someday, right? And in modern life, these narratives are reinforced with social media and true connection and understanding, presence with others, is challenged by competing demands and smartphones. The clear message of Mary's story, though, right there in Nazareth, is God doesn't wait for conditions to be perfect. In fact, is right at home with what really is behind facades going on in our lives, in our thoughts, in our joys and struggles, birthing hope only in the 100% beautifully and painfully real. As a theologian and philosopher, Fuke Liu, on whose inspiration much of this embodying Advent series concludes, be present and patient to the hope that God is inviting you to birth right through you. Let me read it again. Be present and patient to the hope that God is inviting you to birth right through you. So let's pray as I lead us in our first Advent blessing of the season. A quick reflection. Please again sit straight in your chair, both feet on the ground, and let's reflect on that scene with our eyes closed. Right, resume that even rhythm with your in and out breath and contemplate for a few moments that scene in far off Nazareth. The angel bringing that message to Mary. Mary, all the layers of her own story. Now with the breath, think about your story as it is today, right now. The Holy Spirit, the deep wisdom within you speaking through this story of yours. And just listen. Greetings. You are favored. The Lord is with you. This is for you. Greetings. You are favored. The Lord is with you. Right where you are. One more time. Greetings. You are favored. The Lord is with you. As you breathe, please contemplate these words in your heart and mind and make them your own. And now, Mary's response. Make this your own. I am the Lord's servant. I am love's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. May everything you have said about me come true. Amen. Would you bring my phone? There's a page missing here. Oh, Dan.
You gave me two.
Oh, I gave you two. Okay. This is the most important part right here. Okay. So this is our blessing for embodying hope, the first Sunday in Advent. Hope that rises. And as I read this, you'll note that we have... lighted the first candle of Advent representing hope. And hopefully you can join us for the next four Sundays where we light the other four. And finally, the joining candle, the big one. But as I read this blessing, just take this to heart. Hope that rises, a blessing to embody hope as a present and active force in your life. May hope within you rise like a dawn, illuminating the path ahead. May you find courage to birth new realities, grounded in the divine presence that sustains you. As you walk through this Advent season, may hope not only be a promise for tomorrow, but a living force within you today. Amen. Thank you.